Wonderful. That rendition is, yes, it's so wonderful. The Lord will remember you on that day. I said the Lord will remember you on that day. In Jesus' name. From nothing to something, you know? From nothing to something. Anyway, it's not time to tell stories yet. God will bless you. Our sister, come, please. Please come. I have two special numbers for the Lord because we went for weeks, years. We didn't even have special number for him. So it's not too much. He's such a good God. Father, we thank you because you are such a good God. And I stand here before you, Lord, not because I'm qualified, but because you have qualified me to proclaim your word and to proclaim your goodness before the people. I ask, O Lord, that every hearer will be blessed here today in Jesus' name. That to every life that is here, you are going to add value, O Lord, and take them to a place they have never known before. As the people lifted up their voices to praise you, let the blessings of lifting up your name be their portion in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. To some of us, we may be expecting that. I'm well aware of time. I'm sure we've spent so much time. But I'm also sure that we've enjoyed being in the presence of God. I will try to make it as brief as possible, because we still have our Holy Communion. But we cannot come to his house without hearing his word. I know we've had his word in songs, we've had his word in different ways, but we need to hear him. Because that's the main reason why we come to church. So that he can refine us like gold in the hand of the refiner. When you take gold into the furnace, something happens. It changes gold and takes impurity away, and makes it better than it came into the furnace. That is what the word of God does in our lives. It refines us. And it's going to refine you this morning in Jesus' name. I'm sure many of us are surprised, because last week I actually said that we're going to have a speaker come to speak to us. That was the plan. And if you know me, normally I prepare well ahead of time. So we had informed the person who was meant to be here. But along the line, we discovered that we had to change plans. I believe that I owe the church a responsibility, or God a responsibility, and the church too, as to who comes to speak, or who comes to preach, or speak into your lives. Because when somebody comes to talk to you about the things of God, it's a spiritual business. There's a transfer of spirit. Like Paul said to Timothy, he said, do not forget the gifts that are in you by reason of my laying hands on you. So there was a transfer of gifts, transfer of spirits. We really don't want to bring somebody in here, and after they've preached to you, maybe God has delivered you from alcohol before you start to drink again. God has delivered you from adultery and fornication, and you find out that you've gone back again. We don't want that to be your portion in the mighty name of Jesus. So we are very careful and selective as to who comes to mount the pulpit. We may have made some mistakes in the past, but we don't want that to happen anymore. That anyone will just come and, you know, and preach and say things into your life. The life of Christ will come up or come alive in you today in Jesus' name. The message I want to share with us is titled Coming from the Cold. When I heard about the title of the song that my sister was going to sing this morning, and I believe also tied in with what the choir shared with us in their special number, I just thank God because the Spirit of God is one. Coming from the cold is what the Lord laid in my heart to share with us. And I want us to quickly go to the 2 Samuel chapter 9. The book of 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1 to 13. That's where we're going to read this morning. It's the whole of that chapter, so it's not long. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show him the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. Take note of verse 3. And I will read again the part I want you to take note. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show him the kindness, that I may show the kindness of God unto him? Verse 4. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lo Debar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lo Debar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face. Somebody say he fell. He fell on his face. And did reference. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. And will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. And thou shalt eat bread at my table. Somebody say, at my table. At my table. Continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servant shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king had commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micha. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. I'm sure Mephibosheth is not a stranger to us. We know about this young man. This young man was about 5 years old when his father's house lost the kingdom. And the kingdom got given to David. It was in the fear of what might happen to them that his nurse took him to run away. If you look at 2 Samuel chapter 4, his nurse took him, he wanted to run away so that he would not be killed. It was in the process that Mephibosheth fell. And from today, from what we know today, what the young man had was probably spinal cord injury. And he became lame, you know, downward from his legs. That is the story of Mephibosheth. But that is not all. You know, the way things ought to have gone was that because David had come on the throne, he was meant to have wiped out everyone that belonged to Saul. That was the practice. Because if you don't wipe them out, what will eventually happen is that they will raise, you know, opposition against you, against the kingdom. But David said he was not going to do so. And a man who had been marginalized, a man who had been in hiding, was brought out to limelight again. In any area of your life that you have had to go in hiding, God will bring you to limelight. The king commanded that Mephibosheth be brought to limelight again. And I want to believe that we all have a desire. And that desire is for us to live and to experience the promises and the provisions of God for our lives. However, there are usually circumstances that lock us out of God's blessings. And every circumstance that locks you out of God's blessings will be broken down today in Jesus' name. In other words, Mephibosheth was in the cold. This is a young man who has tasted the palace. He knew what good life was. He knew what it was to live in the palace. But all that came to an end one day. And it also happened to the children of God that we know what it is like, the joy of the Holy Spirit. We know what it is like when we are right with God. In Psalm 51, David was writing after he had, you know, his encounter with Bathsheba. That was when he wrote that psalm, and he said, "Renew the right spirit within me, and take not your Holy Spirit from me." Because he knew what the presence of the Holy Spirit would do in his life. In other words, he knew that something was missing in his life the moment he fell into that problem. The life that has the presence of the Holy Spirit is a life of joy, is a life of confidence, is a life of hope, is a life of assurance. I told us earlier on in the morning, I said there are two conditions, maybe there are probably three conditions that will make you have peace as a child of God. The first condition is this. If you don't know what you are doing, if you don't know your right from your left, you may be at peace even when you are doing the wrong thing, right? That's a possibility. The other thing is this. You may be at peace when your conscience has been seared with hot iron. Does the Bible say that? Yes. Those are the people who will do wrong and they will be at peace. I told us in the morning, there are some people who will, you know, they know that they are going against the word of God. And when you say, they say, yes, it is right. This is because I have peace. It's false peace. And there are those who have peace because they know that they live in obedience to the word of God. That is the true peace. Every child of God who has tasted the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives, when they are not attuned to him, when they are not in line with God, they know that they don't have the fullness of joy that they normally experience. That is when you are in the cold. In other words, sin can be a major factor that will put us in the cold. Pride can put us in the cold. Sometimes our ambition can put us in the cold away from God. Intergenerational curse. Sin. In the case of Mephibosheth, not because of what he has done, but because of his lineage. Unbelief. New age ideas, progressive thinking, liberalism, Please, I'm not saying that as Christian, we are not forward-looking. We are forward-looking. Praise the Lord. But our forward-looking is within the word of the Lord. Sometimes overwhelming life circumstances, including poverty, sickness, and disappointments. Sometimes peer pressure. We often think that peer pressure affects only teenagers. It's not only teenagers. Peer pressure can have a strong effect on us as adults too. As I've shared with us before, there is a place that God will take you to that no one can go there with you. In other words, your relationship with God becomes a personal thing that it is not on the basis of what someone else is doing. It's not on the basis of whether somebody shows up or not. It's not on the basis of whether somebody is doing it or not. I will give you an example. When God called Abraham to come and sacrifice his son, the Bible has it that Abraham went with his servant and his son. He got to a point, he asked them to stay there. And he took the boy with the stick and the fire to go and sacrifice him. Nobody could, it was a point in his life that he has to give all that he had. Nobody could be in his position. Nobody could help him to experience what he was going through. Sometimes what God will call you to do, no one else can share that experience and understand it the way God, you know, has shown it to you. Yet we have to live in obedience to him. And that is why we need to be very careful who our friends are. When we have friends, even though they call themselves children of God, and you know that they're disobedient to the word of God, please keep a distance. If you are going to achieve what God intends for your life, keep a distance. But one thing that is very important to me in what we have read is that David said something about Mephibosheth. He told Ziba, he said, bring him that I may show him what? God's kindness. That I may do what? Show him God's kindness. In other words, every one of us who has the Spirit of God in us is capable of showing God's kindness. If there is a transfer of spirit from Jesus to us, then we are capable of showing God's kindness. It's a kind of kindness, you know, this kindness and mercy and grace, they go together. It's a kind of kindness that nullifies the existing circumstance. He said, bring him that I may show him God's kindness. And you know what? God's kindness is great. I say God's kindness is great. If you look at Psalm 117 verse 2, the Bible says God's kindness is great. And one of the things that comes to my mind is this. If the Bible can say something is great, then it's great. Because it's not speaking from man's perspective, it's speaking from God's perspective. And if God can say something is great, then it's really indeed great. In other words, there is no measuring the extent of God's kindness. And that is why you and I are alive today and in his presence. Who else can be your friend if not Jesus? The one that has so much kindness to call you unto himself. Like David called Mephibosheth, he said, come, that I may show you God's kindness. God will show you kindness today in Jesus' name. He said, bring him, that I may show him kindness. And you know something very interesting about the Lord is that if you look at Psalm 117 verse 2, the second part of that verse says, yet he upholds the truth. Yet God does what? He upholds the truth. What is the truth? The word. His word. Judgment. In other words, what he says is infallible. He will make sure it comes to pass. He will show you kindness. He will show mercy. And he will still uphold the truth. You say, how come? If a sinner is going to go, if a sinner is to be punished for what he has done, and God wants to show him mercy and kindness and yet still uphold the truth of his word. Because if he says the one who has sinned will die, then that person Would I? I was reading somewhere, I think it was in Colossians, about last week. And the Bible talked about Jesus. He said Jesus suffered in the body of his flesh. That was when I understood what God had done. He said Jesus suffered in the body of his flesh. In other words, if Jesus has the body of his flesh, it means he has the body of his spirit as well. God could have made him go through what he went through in the body of his spirit, which is untouchable, which nobody can overcome, which the world has no power over. But he went through what he went through in the body of his flesh. In other words, he became subject. He became, you know, something that human beings can manipulate and touch and even kill. Why? Because there has to be a true sacrifice. If he had done it in his spirit, the blood that is required would not have been shed. God needed something alive. God needed the blood of something. Because the Bible says the life of an animal is in his blood. And so Jesus had to go through what he went through for you and I. The other thing about the mercy of God is that it never ceases. The kindness of God never ceases. But one thing that I need to let us know is that even though the mercy of God endures forever, we do not endure forever. This physical body will have to die. And the opportunity ceases at the moment that we die. We then begin to exist at the level of the spirit. At that point, there is no repentance, but the mercy of God will still continue to exist forever. That is why God says, now is the time. Now, the moment that you are hearing me is the time. Now is the time. Even though the mercy endures forever, the Bible says man is like grass. In the morning, what is he like? He flourishes. In the evening, what is he like? He withers. But there are some special people who will receive of God's kindness. I'm sure you say, he's come again. There are some special people who will receive of God's kindness. People with humility. People with what? Humility. They are the ones who will receive of God's own kindness. You know why? It takes humility to repent of your sins. To even think you are wrong in the first place. Don't you know it takes humility? Have you ever approached somebody and you told them they are wrong and you see the way they fight back? How we become defensive? It takes the Spirit of God actually convicting us. Let me give you an example of one person. We were told last week about the first thief that was crucified with Jesus. What did the preacher call him? The rebellious one. You see, when he was being crucified with Jesus, what was he doing? He was railing. He was abusing. Even unto the last point, he kept abusing Jesus. If you can't save, why don't you save yourself? But the repentant thief did what? He said, look, this man has no sin. We deserve what we are getting. So you can see, even in the face of death, if you don't have humility, it is difficult for you to ask Jesus into your life. Humility is important. In Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to 32, we have the story of the prodigal son. You know what? It was not the realization that saved the prodigal son. It was not because he realized his situation that saved him. In fact, the love of the father was there. How do we know? Because the Bible said, while he was afar off, the father had sighted him. In other words, the love of the father was waiting for him to arrive. So in other words, the father was not sleeping. He was waiting, just waiting, hoping that one day he will come. But do you know that all this would not have worked out if the man had not had the humility? He came to a point and said, yes, it doesn't matter. Even if my father says, I've blown it. It doesn't matter if my elder brother says, I've blown it. I will go back. I will just tell him, I'm not even fit to be your son. just let me exist in your house. That is humility. And the father told him, you are worth much more than that. Coming from the cold, man. Come in. It's your house. Come back. Come back inside. If we are going to occupy our rightful place with Christ, humility is needed. In Joel chapter 2 verse 13, let's open to Joel chapter 2 verse 13. The Bible says something there. I will soon close. Please. I know our time is fast spent. If you get there before me, please read, just to save time. Joel 12 verse 13, 2 verse 13. It says, rend your heart and not your garment, and return to the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. And he revokes his sentence of evil when his conditions are met. Can you hear that? That's Amplified Version. What does he do? He revokes his sentence of evil. If he says, look, you are earmarked for punishment. If you are earmarked for winter all the days of your life. He said when his conditions are met, what does he do? He changes. He changes his decision. When his conditions are what? Are met. And it's the grace of God that meets his condition. You will meet his condition in the mighty name of Jesus. Humility. In other words, when a repentant heart comes to him and says, Lord, I've blown it. This is where I used to be. I'm no longer there. Look, I met somebody yesterday at the supermarket. My wife has been seeing this man. We tried to pick him up this morning. And he wouldn't come. When we met him, he told me, he said, look, when we told him about coming to church, he said, look, I was, do you know what? At one time, I was nearly a pastor. That's what he told me. He said, I was nearly a pastor. He said, but you know what now? He said, I drink. I started laughing. You know, I was nearly a pastor. He said, but now I just drink. And you see, his tummy was coming out, really. And I said, God. And I told him, I said, you will drink no more. Oh, one day, God will arrest him. I said, you will drink no more. He said, now, I was nearly a pastor, but now I drink. And I looked at his tummy and I said, oh my God. This is probably somebody who was burning for the Lord when he was in Africa. And he got here and he saw that life is so good. And he's been swept away. You will not be swept away in the mighty name of Jesus. When we call him this morning, we knock on his door. We are used to that anyway. Knock on his door. He wouldn't open the door, but we saw them inside and they were talking. So I called him on his mobile phone. He said, you see, a visitor just suddenly arrived for me. So I'm not able to come. I said, your visitor can come to the church too. He said, okay, next week. When the conditions of God are met, the Lord will do good concerning you. If you go down Joel chapter 2, what happens? When the conditions of God were met, what happened? There was restoration. God said, the army that I've deployed, the cankerworms, the caterpillars, the palmerworms, that were meant to ravage them, he said, I put a stop to them. He said, instead, you will have your rain at the normal times. Many of us don't know the importance of having rain at the normal time. I now work in the country area, and I know farmers who plant wheat. Look, if the rain does not fall when it's supposed to fall, they will not be able to plant. And if they plant and it's time to harvest and the rain keeps falling when they are supposed to harvest, it will spoil that crop. It will be devalued. Even if they are able to harvest something out of it, they will buy it very, very cheap. But God is saying that his rain will fall. When he restores somebody, his rain will fall at the right time. Things will happen to you at the right time. You'll be at the right place at the right time. You know, it will be like you've orchestrated something. People will think you are wise. But you know what? It's the wisdom of God in your life. The wisdom of God will be made manifest in your life in Jesus' name. And you know the other thing is this? Just let me make the last couple of points. When God restores you, you'll be able to operate where God wants you to operate. Look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 4 to 5. Can somebody just read for me? Revelation 3, 4 to 5. If you don't get there quickly, I will read. If you want me to read, I can read Amplified Version. Maybe it will bring it home. How many names? How many names? Few names, okay? He who does what? He who does what? Only overcomers. He said, I have a few names in Sardis, in the church of Sardis. Only a few names. Who are worthy and what? And deserving. He said, he who what? Who overcomes? Jesus is not coming for a defeated church. That's what he's saying. In other words, a child of God that is getting beaten by sin, rising today and falling tomorrow, and staggering and not able to stand, Jesus is not coming for them. Jesus is coming for what? Overcomers. You are going to overcome in Jesus' name. It's not me who wrote the Bible. It's not me who wrote it. He said, thus shall he who conquers, that is victorious, be clad in white garment, and I will not erase or blot out his name from the book of life. So those who overcome, he will not blot out their name. In other words, the corollary is that those who are defeated, what will happen? Yes? Did I hear that? Those who are defeated by the enemy, what will happen? The names will be blotted out. That will not be your portion in the mighty name of Jesus. Coming from the cold, come to the warm embrace of Jesus. He has a purpose for you. He has a plan for you. Where you are now, he wants to take you to another level. And you know what? When he restores you, you begin to operate in the power of the kingdom. You see, the woman with the issue of blood, when he touched Jesus, what happened? Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? And everybody looked at him and wondered, why would Jesus say this kind of thing? Say, who touched me? You know what? The Bible said, because virtue has come out of him. The word virtue there is not the same word as virtue in Philippians 4 verse 8. Philippians 4 verse 8, the virtue there is about good behavior, you know, living right. But the virtue there is power, dunamis. It's the same word of power in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 and in Acts 10:38. He said power was drawn out of Jesus and Jesus knew something had happened to him. Do you know what? Sometimes some of us come to church for 20 years. In other words, we rub on the head of Jesus. We even slap him. We kick him around. And Jesus has never asked, who touched me? Because we have never drawn power out of him. When you touch him by faith, you will draw power out of him. And when you draw power out of him, heaven will notice you. Jesus will notice you. Jesus will stop for you. He will listen to your complaint. When you come, believe in him. He said, who touched me? Do you touch his heart? When you touch his heart, look, let me tell you something. He will stop for you. You begin to live like an eagle. Oh, look, I told you on Friday I was studying. And one of the things I studied about was the eagle. The first thing is that eagles dwell on the mountains. The highest mountain, that's where the eagles will look for and dwell there. And I've told us what mountains represent. Mountains represent a place of prominence. You may be a pastor and not be able to dwell on the mountain. Do you know why? Oh, yeah. You may not be able to. And that is why some pastors cannot preach about holiness and righteousness. Why? Because when you preach, you are trying to live on the mountain, people will expose you. People will begin to find things out about you. And so I can preach, you know, blessings, you know, prosperity. That way, I'm not going to offend anybody. And so nobody will want to find anything about me. When you disturb the kingdom of darkness. Look, that people are getting rich does not disturb the kingdom of darkness. No, he doesn't. You know why? Because the Bible says he has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. As long as you are not obstructing him, he's not disturbed. Because people in darkness are getting rich. So there's nothing extraordinary happening in your life. But when souls are being won to Christ, when somebody is being liberated from the kingdom of darkness and being brought to light, then that is when you are cutting trouble. That is when you are doing what? Cutting trouble. You are living on the mountaintop. The other thing I learned about the ego, and I'm closing the book, is that the eagles, because it dwells on the mountain, it also makes its nest on the mountain. And you know what? Something that amazed me is that the nest of the eagle can weigh up to 1 to 2 tons. It will actually go and gather branches, big branches, to make a nest. And you know what? It will make it in the cleft of the mountain and make the mountain the foundation of its nest. And then you can then understand why Jesus was saying, because you can imagine the amount of wind blowing on the mountaintop, and yet the house of the eagle will withstand the storm. That's why Jesus said, he said, the wise man, when he hears my saying, will obey my words. He's the one who builds his house on the rock. The one that does the word of God. A life that is built on the word of God in the face of storm will stand. A marriage built on the word of God in the face of storm will do what? Will stand. Children brought up in the way and the word of God will do what? Would stand in the days of storm. He wants us to build like eagles. He said, coming from the cold, come to his warm embrace. And the Lord will take you to places you have never known. He will do things you have never thought was possible in your life. God is set out to bless somebody. And that person is you this morning. I say that person is you. Because if I say God is set out to bless somebody, I know you won't even say it's me. You won't say it's you. I have to claim it for you. No, it's true. I know. I have to claim it for you because I know you cannot come here and go home the same. The warmth of his embrace, his kindness, is from everlasting to everlasting. His goodness is from everlasting to everlasting. Please, can we rise on our feet? And please, can we bring in the elements, please, as we share in the Holy Communion, as we dine with the Lord? Please, can we just close our eyes? All of us, everybody, close your eyes, please. You are in the house. You are in the house this morning. You used to know the Lord. In other words, you've given your life to Christ before. But now, you know that the way you are living, you are no longer in Christ. You just know that you are living in the cold. The Lord wants to invite you in now. Please, if you are in that category, please, can you come out? Or you have never given your life to Christ. You have never given him your life before. You are in the cold. Please, can you just come out here? It's a time of restoration. Look, only the humble. Remember, only the humble. It takes humility to do it. It's not about anyone. Please, can we close our eyes, please? You are in the house. Just come out now. Just come out. Let's pray for you. Let's pray for you. Let's pray for you. You have been in the cold for too long. You have been in the cold for too long. Come into the warm embrace of Jesus. Come into the warm embrace of Jesus. Please, come out now. Come out now. He has plans for your life. He has plans for your life. You begin to live like an eagle. You begin to live like an eagle. You will touch him today. Come out right now. Come out right now. Come out right now. Please. Come out. Come out. Let's pray for you. Let's pray for you now. You are in the house. You have not been living the way a child of God will live. You know it. It takes humility to come out. To drink of the water of his kindness and the milk of his mercy. Come out right now. Come out right now. Oh, the God of begin to come out. If you are in the house and you know you are not living like an eagle, you are in the cold, can you please come out right now? Come out. We have one more minute. Do not go home the same way you have come. It is the word of the Lord for you today. Now is the time. Now is the time. Today is the day. Take the bread and eat it. Keep the wine so we will all drink at the same time. Of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. There is power
on the walking. In the blood of the Lamb, of the Lamb,
power,
wonder-working power, in the precious blood of the Lamb.
There is healing,
there is healing,
oh, healing,
yeah,
wonder-working healing,
in the blood.
I want to believe we all have wine now. Now, there's a group of people. Is there any child that is sick in the house? Is there any child that is sick in the house? If there's a sick child, please, can the mother just take wine for that child, please, to drink as well? If there's a sick child in the house, just take a cup of wine for the child to drink. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I want you to begin to speak to the Lord concerning that situation in your life, concerning that which you want the Lord to do for you. Begin to speak to him, begin to talk to him. God, begin to talk to him, begin to talk to him, begin to speak to him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Holy Bashenga Rebo Koto Sondorobo. Holy Bangalek Aleshen Rebalekata Sunday. Thank you, Jesus, because you are forever true. Oh, thank you, because your word is powerful. It's sharper than every two-edged sword. So the divided asunder of bone and of marrow. Lord Jesus, let every obstacle be broken now in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, let every infirmity come to an end now in the mighty name of Jesus. Let there be restoration. Let there be repositioning. Let there be a lifting up. Let there be a lifting up. Let there be a lifting up. Let there be hope. Let there be encouragement now in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for this time in your presence. We thank you for every victory you have wrought in our lives today. We thank you for every hope you have engendered. We thank you for every eyes you have opened to see your greatness and your goodness in their lives. We thank you for everyone you are lifting up and promoting right now. We ask, O Lord, that even as your children hold on to these miracles, O Lord, they will never lose them again in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Everyone you have healed, O Lord, they are healed permanently in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Everyone you have given a new vision to, Lord, that big vision will be birthed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
It will give back to substance.
Amen.
It will give back to substance.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. In Jesus' wonderful mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Can we share the grace?